Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. And with me today, because I just can't get enough, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. And John Martellaro, I hope you're well, too.
We're back.
See, I just can't get enough. And I know at some point, someone will mix that in with some 80s music.
Oh, that'll be their ringtone.
Yeah, it'll be a beautiful thing. And I was just about to take this down a path that was going to completely change our demographic. But so instead of doing that,
no, be careful.
How about if I say we have two topics today that I think go together very well, in that they both relate.
They both start with F.
They both start with F, and they end with C. Mm.
They do.
All right. So first topic that I thought we'd take a look at is the news that the FTC is suing AT&T for throttling unlimited data plans. And I just realized that we have an acronym soup episode today.
We totally do.
So the deal is that when we all first got our iPhones, back when the original iPhone came out, we all had these unlimited data plans. And that was a really great carrot to dangle in front of us to get us to buy the new iPhone, or the brand new iPhone, which is kind of funny because we were going to buy it anyhow.
Exactly. And it's not like AT&T dangled this as a way to differentiate from all the other places you could get an iPhone from.
Right, because there was no other place.
Right.
It was an exclusive thing.
And they continued that data plan through the 3G because I didn't get the first one. I got an iPhone 3G. And I was able to get that plan, the unlimited data plan, which is the plan I still have to this day.
And herein lies the rub, because you are not alone, Kelly, in that you still have your unlimited data plan. I eventually did get rid of mine because it made financial sense based on all the phones that I had to manage. But for a lot of people, they've got that unlimited data plan, and they're holding on to it. Mm-hmm. And what happened was AT&T started doing things to kind of push people out of keeping that unlimited data plan. And they even at one point started throttling your data if you used over a certain threshold every month. Mm-hmm. And so this is where the FTC gets involved, because now several years after the fact, they are suing AT&T saying, look, you gave these people unlimited, and unlimited means unlimited. And
not unlimited until you feel like monkeying with their access.
Right. And they consider throttling to be a form of limitation.
Yes.
I know why this happens.
Do tell.
I'm going to go on a rant about this because I've been around these circles enough to know how this goes. The management goes to the engineers and says, can we offer unlimited data? And the engineers say, no, not until 2016, when we have a tenfold increase in our bandwidth. And the executive says, well, we'd like to offer unlimited plans in order to rope these people in. What would it take to do that? And the engineers say, well, we can't do it. And the executive says, no, go back to the drawing board and tell us how we could offer it based on the fact that maybe only a certain percentage of people will do it. And the engineers do a survey and they say, well, we think if we offered unlimited data that half the people would do it. Then the marketing department jumps in and they say, no, that's not going to happen. Maybe only 10% of the people are going to do it. That way we can offer unlimited data. And the executive says, fine idea. Go ahead and offer unlimited data. And the engineer, in Dilbert fashion, stands up and says, you're idiots. And the executive says, yes, but we're going to offer it anyway, and we'll make a lot of money, and people will love us. And so they offer unlimited data, and then the engineers come back and say, well, we told you so. And the executive says, it's your fault.
Of course.
You're fired. The executive says. You're fired. How could you let this happen?
Yes.
What's interesting to me about this is, first of all, that it's happening at all, because I don't know exactly what the word is going to be, but I don't know, cell infroida, watching cell providers get theirs and enjoying it. But I'm very interested to see where this is going to go, because I'm hoping that because really we all know that AT&T really doesn't want this to go to court.
Oh, no, 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 they do not. This is not in their best interest to fight this in a public venue.
In any way, shape, or form, because people who are paying for any kind of data from AT&T are going to get to see emails. And given the kind of stuff that has come out in other sorts of corporate cases like this in the past, I'm very interested to see. I would love to see it go to court. I'll make popcorn. Because this would be awesome to find out how things really do operate at AT&T, because a lot of that stuff will end up being part of public record if it goes to court. So AT&T really doesn't want this to go to court. And I really do, because I want to know what happens. And so I want to know what this is sort of the shot across the bow to hopefully start getting some consumer protection and establishment of some consumer rights when it comes to cell phone providers, the way they have in what's that place called? Oh yeah, all the rest of the world. So I really want for this to be a thing. I want it to happen. I want it to go big. I want it to be like the only thing anybody can talk about. I want it to be the OJ trial of 2014, where it's the only thing anyone can discuss, because I really want to see that happen.
You may want to see that happen, but I believe you will not.
I know.
Yeah.
But this also means the other thing that this tells me is that the Federal Trade Commission is paying attention, and at least after a fashion, has paid enough attention to see that this is something that is happening, and that there may be action they can take on behalf of consumers, which is one of the things the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to do. So I sort of hope that once they've kind of dipped their toes in with this, that maybe they'll go after some of the other stuff that is completely egregious. So
one of the things that interested me was I was watching Brian Williams last night on NBC News explain the situation. He did a pretty good job. Unlike with affairs Apple, where NBC usually gets it wrong or tells a distorted part of the story, they got this right with FTC last night. And they quoted AT&T's response, who said, this is just plain wrong. And, you know, the FTC has engineers, and they do tests, and they interview people, and they put equipment on the network, and they can see what's going on, and they have data. And it amused me that AT&T came back and publicly said, well, no, that just isn't happening. That's wrong. We're not throttling. Because, of course, you know, nobody really understands the technology of the internet and how you test these things, but
it's a series of tubes and dump trucks, right?
Yeah, it's a dump truck.
That's right.
Yeah.
So,
did you get that internet I sent you, Jeff?
Oh yeah, it showed up in two boxes. That's how you sent it, right?
Well, I sent it in a dump truck, but yeah, as long as you got two boxes, that should be good enough.
Oh yeah, dump truck. It pulled up out front, dropped the boxes on the street for me.
Oh, okay.
Worked out just fine. Yeah. Thank
Excellent.
You. Yeah. All right. So second topic I want to look at is government as well. And this time it's the FCC as opposed to the FTC. And okay. So here's the deal. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler, he is proposing a change to the way certain parts of the rules governing cable television and broadcasters is interpreted so that it will eliminate broadcasters' abilities to refuse to sell content to certain type of service providers.
Certain type of providers called Aereo.
Aereo. Yes. And also that would mean that okay, so what he's targeting specifically is internet streaming television. So companies like Aereo and other companies, say like Apple with Apple TV, that would like to be able to cut deals with specific broadcasters but currently can't and are forced to go through the cable service providers, which means that to get – for today, to get your HBO content mm-hmm. on your Apple TV, you need to have a cable television subscription. Of course, that's changing next year.
Mm-hmm.
CBS has already changed that. You can now go directly to CBS and get a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have all these changes happening, and Tom Wheeler says it's time to change the way we interpret the rules so that these current technologies, internet streaming technologies, will be included in the services that can get at this content. And he also wants it to be future-proofed, meaning future technologies that people would use to get at their content will be protected as well.
I love it.
Again, this is the kind of thing that makes me happy, because this is something that goes in my favor as opposed to the Comcast Time Warner cable merger, which probably will happen, even though the entire world said it shouldn't, except for Comcast and Time Warner. And so I wondered if this might be an olive branch, because Tom Wheeler was the guy that said, you know, it would be okay if those merged. And, you know, it might be something that they let through. So on the one hand, I'm excited about this because it means that there's a good chance that Apple and Amazon, let's just talk about everybody that we're discussing here. It's Apple and Amazon and sort of Google, but not as much, at least right now. Apple and Amazon being able to go right to HBO and say, give me Game of Thrones, without having to have Comcast or Time Warner or anybody else be a part of that discussion, or being able to go to ABC or go to, you know, anybody and say, you know, we really want this show on our streaming service thing, is really exciting, because then it means there's a real possibility that you can just buy the TV that you want.
But what'll happen, Kelly, is that there'll be a boardroom meeting and the executives will sit around and say, you know, we're losing our regular cable subscribers. How are we going to make up that revenue? And somebody will raise his hand and say, oh, yes, we'll extract higher rates from HBO for transmitting their information directly to the customer's iPad.
That's a very real possibility.
It is.
Now, Kelly, your olive branch hypothesis,
mm-hmm.
I really like that, because when the big Time Warner, everyone else merger happens,
mm-hmm.
it's going to kill a lot of competition, even though the companies say it won't. I mean, when you have that big of a company covering that much of the market, then by definition, a lot of the competition is simply gone.
Well, there is not a lot of competition in the first place. So this is the reason that I never liked it in the first place, was because it's not like I have a choice between Comcast and Time Warner where I live. I get one, and that's right. It. So, yeah. So when they're talking about, oh, this isn't going to hurt competition, the reason they can say that with a straight face is because there isn't any.
But by giving us the option of buying television channels a la carte through mm-hmm. other companies like Apple or Microsoft for Xbox, Roku,
TiVo. Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Then they've created a new opportunity for competition.
That's true.
And I think that's a great idea, because that competition has been sorely needed for a long time. And if we get a mega cable company,
mm-hmm.
then having other players out there that can compete, and players that can compete in a way where they're just not simply doomed, which I look at Apple, Amazon, Google, and Microsoft as the players in that space.
Yeah. I
mean, they have the money. They mm-hmm. they can stay in this long term. We now have a new opportunity for competition.
The only reason this concerns me is because TV provider and internet provider are usually the same provider. So, yeah, I might be able to drop my Comcast television subscription and pay Apple a little bit less money to get the TV that I want. It just means that Comcast is going to raise my internet bill $25 a month now that the cable is, now that I don't have TV anymore.
A few years ago, I decided to save some money. Basic cable was rolled into my internet service, whether I liked uh-huh. it or not.
Yeah.
And, well, actually, I did have the option. So when I first moved into the house, you know, I had Comcast cable and Comcast internet. And then we switched, we had DirecTV, so I dropped the Comcast cable TV part, and my internet connection dropped in half in speed. I called them up and said, what's going on? And they said, well, it's bundled, and so if you want the fastest internet rate, you have to have a basic cable subscription.
Wow.
Now, when I signed up for cable at my current place, so the new TMO Central Towers, all I did was I got internet, which is all I've had for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you can get faster packages or bandwidth packages than you used to be able to outside of their television bundles.
That's
but
true.
You pay more for those.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be cheaper for me to have the connection that I could probably get a faster connection, actually, if I paid for a basic television package. But I really don't want the package. And even if I had the package, then I'd still be paying for whatever set-top box they want me to have. I don't need that. So so I just pay the higher rate to get my 50 megabits and call it good.
Yep.
You know, actually, the basic cable has come in handy from time to time. Even though we have DirecTV, if there's really bad weather and it's hailing or really, really bad snowstorm and the sky is just really a mess, we'll lose our DirecTV, but what I can do is switch over to the Comcast basic cable and get the local news channels. We can still monitor the weather. So it does have its uses.
Sure. But you're using cable television. Well, your content consumption is a completely different setup than mine, meaning I'm not concerned about having all the cable channels. And for the content that I want to see that's current, it's actually cheaper for me to buy a season pass to Doctor Who on the iTunes store.
Yep. Mm.
And for most everything else that I want to see, it's available through Netflix streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I really, really want to see the local channels, I'm just going to hop on Amazon and for $20 or whatever, pick up an HD antenna and plug it into my TV and call it good. But I haven't even felt a need to do that.
I have an HD window antenna here sitting on my desk that I need to review. Do you want to review it?
You know what? I think that would be awesome. I would be happy to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Madison from Max Borges Agency sent it to me, and I've been hard-pressed to get to it. I think you might be the perfect reviewer.
Yeah, I am the cable cutter. I think you're right. I'm the perfect reviewer for that piece. All right, we'll make that happen.
Okay.
And we are out of time. So thank you to both of you for joining me today.
Certainly.
And and I'm amazed.
Certainly.
I'm amazed at how well we did at remaining civil when we were dealing with the near insanity that makes up rules and regulations and policies for the FTC and FCC. So, hey, thanks for joining me.
Today's Daily Observations podcast was brought to you by the letters F and C.